out by 104.3 The Fan. Senior Broncos writer from DenverFan.com, John Clayton. He's presented by Lush and Beck Law, injury attorneys. Morning, John.
Morning. How are you?
Doing good, John. Hey, walk us through what you know about the Broncos, essentially their players saying, hey, we're not coming in to phase one of the offseason program until there are protocols put into place. Several other teams have done this. I know you live in Seattle. The Seahawks are doing it as well. Can you walk us through kind of what's going on right now in the league and why some of the teams are opting out like the Broncos?
Well, the big thing is that the players, particularly the Players Association, the veterans, they don't want to have any off-season program. They basically want to have everything virtual, and the main reason is because, you know, we still are in a tight part of the pandemic. You know, the numbers are up of late. Vaccinations aren't really all there for the players, and so because of that, they'd rather not take the chance of coming in. Now, one thing that J.C. Treader, the head of the union, said is that, you know, there's, like, for example, Dallas has like 25 people right now, players in the building. I know Philadelphia has maybe 20. And they said there's still a bunch of players getting positive tests or being, you know, in COVID-19 protocol. And so it's like, you know, in vaccinations. So what you wonder is that how many players are really even who go to the facility are getting that. So I think it's a matter that it's just the time isn't there to be able to do it. And I think ultimately before Monday, the league has to make a decision. Okay, what can we salvage in this offseason? You know that it's mandatory for the players to be at the mini camp. You know that it's something that they need to get players in there before, but I think they have to negotiate it, and I think the league has to back down.
Are you surprised, John, that only a handful of teams have chosen to opt out to this point?
Well, I think it's a handful of teams that have said that they're going to opt out, but I think most of the teams are going to say they are going to opt out. I mean, like, it's funny because the team that I thought was going to be the most interesting to watch is going to be the New England Patriots. And the Patriots basically are taking a position because of Bill Belichick. Well, most of the players are going to stay out, but there'll be some that may be willing to go back in. And so, you know, certainly if you're going to be a rookie, you probably need to be in because, like, for example, you look in the first round, there's going to be 7 or 8 opt-outs from last year that haven't played since 2019. They probably need to be in, but I think right now they need to negotiate this and try to at least settle it. But I think more teams are really taking a position. It's like, okay, we may not announce it, but we're not showing up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think the big thing is people have to understand that this phase one is just about working out what all these guys are doing anyhow. All the guys who are professionals, and there's always, you know, every team, as you know, you've covered this league for a long time. Every team has 5 guys you got to babysit. But the rest of the guys, for the most part, are professional. They're going to work out. They're going to do their thing. It really comes down to May when the on-the-field workouts, the OTAs, so to speak, start up. That's really the drop-dead kind of deadline for the NFL and the players to come to some type of agreement, right?
I would think so, yeah. And that's why, I mean, there's still time to be able to work this thing out, but you can understand the situation from the players because they're still concerned about COVID-19. And certainly the coaches, I mean, they're the ones in the toughest spot. And this year is even worse than last year because you have all the opt-outs, guys that haven't played since 2019. You've got, you know, 5 quarterbacks going possibly in the top 10. You know, you've got all these different things that even make it tougher than last year. But, you know, they need to do something, and I think the league just needs to adjust and get away from the idea. It's like, okay, what are we going to do to be able to salvage this off season and, you know, not do everything virtual, but do something where you can get some players on the field?
Well, you mentioned the quarterbacks, 5 going probably in the top 10. And I'd like to ask you, like, what should we read? Like, read the tea leaves for me that Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator, goes to watch Justin Fields, but George Payton, the GM, doesn't. Is there anything we should read into that?
I think what you read into it is the idea is like, okay, sure, there's a chance that Justin Fields could fall if Detroit doesn't take him at 7, San Francisco doesn't take him at 3, that he could fall to Denver at 9. But it's like, if that's going to be the case, that's a trade. That's a trade with the New England Patriots or Washington football team. Because let's say that there is no off-season program. I mean, so you're going to bring in a quarterback at 9. They won't have the ability to compete totally against Drew Lock. The idea is getting a quarterback and compete against Drew Lock. And, you know, are you going to be able to do it if you're just going to have a training camp to go in there? I don't think so. And so it's like a trade down's a possibility. So I think what it shows is that you need somebody to look at Justin Fields to see what you think. But I think in the end, you know, Denver's going to take an offensive tackle, maybe another position player, whatever, and then it's possible they could trade down to 15, give New England Justin Fields or give New England Trey Lance.
Visit with John Clayton. John, and this is subject to change, of course. Who knows? Maybe San Francisco at number three takes Justin Fields. But as of right now, the tea leaves seem to point to him being the fifth quarterback taken out of this group. Does that surprise you that with everything this guy did at a program like Ohio State, we saw him on the biggest of stages, play really, really well against Clemson. Does it surprise you? Why do you think he's perceived to be the fifth best quarterback in this group?
I think he's probably the third best quarterback, but the only difference is that Kyle Shanahan likes accurate quarterbacks who are smart, that can, you know, basically know down and distance, and that's more Mac Jones. Mac Jones is more like a better version of Kirk Cousins, and, you know, you can go back to Washington when you look at Kyle Shanahan, and even though he had he had RG3, who was picked by the owner, I think he preferred Kirk Cousins. And so now you look at the same situation, but, you know, athletically, Mac Jones is like the fifth best quarterback in this draft if you look athletically. But now, you know, it's like Fields is great athletically, and then Trey Lance has no experience. He's got 17 games under his belt, one game last year, and it wasn't a good football game. So I think he's number five, and so he may have the best upside of any of the quarterbacks, but right now he's not going to play at all this year, no matter where he goes.
All right. Yeah, I mean, that's great stuff. Hey, Johnny, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for hopping on.
Hey, go Jets.
Yeah.
Hey, have you enjoyed that? Have you not been entertained?
Yeah,
I've been entertained.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. You know me, Johnny. I'm a man of the people. I just try to bring people together.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Dude.
Thanks.
John Clayton. He's done. Benny?
I love it when Benny's working on something else and you just look at him like, hey, he's like, I'm not listening to you, clown.
Benny had a great day today.
He did it.
Benny and Duff had great days today.
A lot of music.
A lot of great music. We threw a lot at him. And the beauty of Millennial Ben is most times he follows our lead and there's no, it's like we're just all thinking as one. Sometimes, though, he gets distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sandy starts talking to him. Orlando starts talking to him. And pretty soon it's like, John Clayton's done with his segment.
Yeah. And Benny's like, what were we talking about?
Talk about.
He's on.
All right. John Clayton. Fan senior Broncos writer, presented by Flesh and Beck Law, injury attorneys. Read John's latest on the Broncos every day at denverfan.com. All right. A Thursday that really felt like a Friday.
Yeah, it's good.
Good. But we have Friday tomorrow. Love it. Can't wait for it. It's coming your way. But first, a lot more great stuff happening here on The Fan. Sandy and Orlando coming up next.